This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
It just hit me. Between plays, blankly looking up at the ReliaQuest Bowl. Can a bowl game even just be a word anymore? I'm going to be mad at myself that I even said, I'm about to say it a second time, ReliaQuest. That's like probably a insurance company. Is it a financial company and an insurance company, though? That's what we need to know. It hit me. It's New Year's Eve, and I have nothing to do tonight. I mean, nothing planned. Nothing to do makes it sound like all my chores are done or whatever, like all my work is done at home, which is certainly not the case. If I needed... I'm sure I can think of someone who would tell me, do you need something to do? Here's a list, okay? If you need something to do, just pick literally one thing off this list and we'll feel great. You know, I promise I'll do that. But I have no plans to do anything. Part of it is, it's my one friend's problem. It's his fault. My friend Mike is out of town and it's his birthday. And for maybe... 7 or so of the last 10 years, I want to say, New Year's Eve with him and his wife and daughter and my family and some other friends have always been at my house. Open up the basement. There's a bar. That's a party. We put on, for fun, you would love this. We put on vintage Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve shows from like the early 80s or something, because you can do that. That makes us feel really, you know, smart and hip because we're not watching. Well, we would never watch the current one, right? So we watch the old Dick Clark New Year's Eve shows at Times Square, and it's a great night. But he's out of town. So is my family. Like, there's not even a hot, you know, pigs in a blanket, shrimp, stuffed mushrooms kind of appetizer. I've got nothing at all. I'm going to be out of here 7 at the latest. And I have nothing. I have to feed the dog and take her for a short walk if it's not too snowy. And that's it. And what am I going to do for? Is there another? There's a bowl game that has a word, cotton. But even that's weird because that's actually a playoff. They just sort of are hanging on to the cotton, orange, rose, sugar names, even though it kind of, unless you know, the Cotton Bowl, I think, can't kind of buy pre-playoff years, the Cotton Bowl was a little bit more fringe. It was sort of like not invited to the cool kids table anymore, the Cotton Bowl. It was just not as sexy as the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and a couple of the other, maybe the Fiesta Bowl, but that's the ReliaQuest, really. There's not even like a tangerine after the word ReliaQuest. There's just nothing. We don't care. It doesn't matter anymore. The bowl games are so, the whole system is so far gone. Well, anyway, Happy New Year. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off today. He'll be back with me on Friday. I keep saying that. I'm pretty sure that's right. No one has told me different. So that's my expectation. I'm looking forward to today very much. Joe Ostrowski coming up at 3:30. Always a great time with Joe. He is now on the podcast Chicken Dinner with Sam Panayotovic, who I expect will join us on Friday. Dan Leberfeld, as it is Jets week, right? It is, right? That's what we're all thinking about is the Jets. Name five Jets. That's what we're all thinking about. So Dan Leberfeld on the Jets, and was it Tyler Dunn yesterday? I think it was, that I asked, like, is this a new low point? I mean, the Jets are the Sabres of the last 14 years in football, where they have not made the playoffs at all. And it's just sort of it's the drought, you know, it's different degrees of failure, I guess. Maybe that could be their video yearbook. A lesser degree of failure, the 2021 New York Jets. Maybe I've stolen that. Probably not. So we'll talk to Dan about this game coming up on Sunday. I wonder how much. Do you wonder this? So the Bills this week, it's a work week. I mean, it's absolutely a work week. The playoffs are next week. And even though there isn't the division on the line here this week, it's got to be super focused. Interesting how the players do that around Christmas and New Year's. They got to stay really on point. And I wonder how much of their prep is toward the Jets. I feel, I've been asked this, and we've talked about this since Monday or since Sunday night. I think the Bills will seriously rest players in this game. I don't know that, but I'm expecting that. And that starts with Allen, of course. He starts the game, and then, I don't know, does he play more than one play because it's the stadium finale, or does he play, I don't know. I feel like the coach's objective is to be right for the postseason, and the stadium being retired has nothing to do with that. So maybe we get one play. Maybe it's a series. Maybe it's a quarter. I don't know, but it's not going to be a lot from Allen. I wonder, that's my expectation anyway. I wonder what the Bills sort of, I don't know, they're always trying to win, but how much it matters to them to win this game. And I put this to you, 803-0550, or any sort of bye-bye stadium kind of thoughts or feelings that you have. We did some of this yesterday, and with three guests today, there won't be, you know, a sort of a long run of calls. So I'm open to it, like, right away here. But I wonder what kind of incentive or, like, pressure there is within the team from McDermott to beat the Jets. They might feel, but they would never want to sort of acknowledge it, that they can just beat them with their eyes closed. That this is, I mean, it might be the easiest game on the schedule that's possible this week would be a home game against the Jets. I mean, they have really, I thought, this is on me, I guess. I mean, last week at this time, you might have heard me talking up the Jets' chances against the Patriots, and I couldn't have been more wrong to do that. I mean, as soon as the game started, it was over. So is that what we get this week too? Is it absolutely already Cancun time for Jets players? But, you know, the Bills don't want to fall for that or be distracted by that. They can move up one, if not two spots by winning. Or at least, to put it maybe in a better way, They're the 7 if they lose to the Jets. They're the 6 or maybe the 5 if they win. So there's the potential to move up from the 7 seed. Do you think it matters to them? The one thing about the 7, because you don't know 2 or 3 either, New England or Jacksonville or maybe even Denver, but Denver is probably safe against the Chargers without Justin Herbert this week. Probably. It's as far as I'll go. Which would mean that Denver is the 1. And if I'm the 7 and I win that first game against New England or Jacksonville, then I'm locked in for Denver in the second week. And I don't know. How do you feel about that? Is a game and then Denver the second week better or worse than the other two, like Jacksonville, New England, in whatever order? I guess who's 3rd on that list of the 3 teams, the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Jaguars? That's interesting. You've got a ton of incentives. I looked at the chart today. Somebody posted a chart of all the player incentives in the NFL. And granted, a couple of these Bills ones, like Michael Hoyt is one. I'm pretty sure he's not getting 2 sacks in this game being on IR. But it's Bosa, Daquan Jones. It's not going to be Oliver. Oliver needed 3 sacks for a quarter mil. That's out. Shakir has a couple. 8 catches, a touchdown. That's $150,000 each. Ty Johnson has a couple. Dawson Knox has 3 different $100,000 incentives in this game. The Bills might want to make their guys happy and sort of lean into that a little bit. I don't know. There's a lot on my mind. It's this game, but it's mostly next week. It's that I've got nothing to do tonight. It's these incentives. It's fantasy is over, and I'm definitely feeling a little bit of a void, which I'm trying to embrace because the fantasy experience in my life is, I don't want to say rigorous because that's embarrassing. That sounds like if you're riding a bike for 30 miles a day, but it's just sort of involved. How about that? Is that a fair word to do it? Involved. And I'm trying to enjoy the respite from having that all be over. And it totally is. I very well might drop in a DFS lineup. Those are fun in week 18 because you have all these backups playing and you can kind of just, it's almost like the preseason. But without that, I'm feeling a little bit of a void, as I think is coming across, and I've also already said it. Let's go to Nick here. Hi, Nick.
Oh, hey, I just wanted to reflect quickly on my first job. One of my first jobs was at Rich Stadium. Me and a few of my friends, we were 18, 19 years old back in the 70s, and in those days, you were legal to drink in them days. But anyhow, our job at the stadium was basically selling cups of beer in the crowd.
Yeah.
We around with the rack of beer. A beer was 90 cents. And there we were. We were young and didn't have much money. And we were able to go to the games and make maybe 30 to 50 bucks. And that was great in the 70s.
Now, 90 cents so that they would give you the 10 cents tip? Right? Like, here's a buck, keep the change, kid? More like that?
So I don't remember.
Probably, though. Strategically priced, Nick.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you is, is there any incentive for the Bills to win this game? I mean, there's no chance of another home game, even if we beat the first opponent and then down the line?
No, there would be. Like that's part of it. You can make it that. Thanks, Nick. Happy New Year. You can make it that, or you can make it just matchups. But that's the extent of it. I mean, they can't win the AFC East. They might be able to get to the 5, but they need a pretty big upset or two around the AFC. It's pretty much only going to be 6 or 7, and 6 gives you some look at a home game. What it would be is not trying to overthink the rest of the possible seedings, but say 6-3 is Bills Jaguars win that game. Houston, say, is the 7 or the Chargers. Chargers are more likely the 7. They beat New England and Denver, and you end up hosting them in the AFC Championship game. And that's the dream. Is it so possible that it makes this game important? Maybe. I think of this game more as just like, oh, how could you possibly lose to the Jets? But honestly, if Trubisky plays three quarters, you could. I mean, that's not that different from what the Jets are doing. And if you're sitting five good players, offense or defense, you know, Benford, whoever else would sit, then I think you're, I don't know, at the Jets level. So maybe not. Maybe you're still better. But that's really what it's about. Let's go to Zach next. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Mike. Just want to call on the matchups. I do think the Bills will take care of business Sunday. Kind of odd to be thinking about. I love your comments on the situation where it's like the last game, but looking at the playoffs, it's just kind of this conundrum I'm trying to figure out in my head because it is going to be emotional, but I'm also looking at playoffs. But on the playoffs, I think if the Bills play their best game, and their best game being solid defense in the second half of the game, Cook playing well, and Allen having a clean game, clean with no hits and like no crazy turnovers, game-changing turnovers. I this is a playoff field where I feel confident in them beating any of them if they play that kind of game. Like if going in, if that game happens, I think the Bills walk out anywhere, Jacksonville, New England, Denver. Like I don't, there's not like I'm not like going into any of these where I'm like I feel like, you know, any of these teams are a major threat. I mean, I could also see them losing, but I would be more fearful of that Jacksonville team, the 17 Bills played, than this Jaguars team. And this Jaguars team's got a better quarterback. But that defense was, there were some monsters on that team, man. Nobody on this Jacksonville team really scares me. So Bills against the field, I kind of like it if they could play their best game.
Well, you know, you could bet that if you're a betting man, because that would be not the hugest surprise of all possibilities this playoff season, but it would be up there. If you liked him, this is what I've been talking about with Sam Paniadovich all season, because he just keeps pouring more and more of his money into Bills and the Super Bowl. Like, you could still do that. The loss to the Eagles makes that such that it's not like it's super cheap now. I don't know if I agree with the Jacksonville point. It's all so close. The thing I think about when I think about Jacksonville, like, really doesn't seem like there's an obvious weakness with them. And I'm curious about what their passing game is capable of. The Bills are a very good pass defense. Not always the best at getting to the quarterback. But what I like about their chances against Jacksonville is Brian Thomas has been erratic. If it matters to you, Travis Hunter is not there. Like, he never really got off the ground as a receiver anyway. Jacoby Myers is fine, but not going to really beat you. Like, he could have a good day. And then there's this Parker Washington, who's had a couple of good stat lines in recent weeks. I don't know, though, if we're talking about anybody that is on a higher level. So I want to think that by their personnel, if not also by their schemes, because the coach seems pretty good, but by their personnel, if the Bills can't measure up to Jacksonville. And then running wise, it's ETN, and I think he's also okay. Like, he has gotten a lot of volume in his career, but is not somebody who, he's not Bijan, you know, like somebody who can just sort of break the game on you. So I do like this. I've thought about it a lot. I've come to like this about the Jacksonville possibility, that if I need to have Trevor Lawrence manufacture a win, a comeback win even, I'll take my chances there. I mean, I respect them, but I'll take my chances there. Interesting to think about the Patriots in the same vein. Like, so what's the difference there? And because the Patriots are not loaded at receiver either, but I am a little bit more daunted by that idea because of coaching experience and that the quarterback has been better. Like, the quarterback has been as good as any this year, I want to say, May. And he's faced the Bills a couple times. I think it's a version of, dare I put this on your plate, it's a version of the Kansas City meetings, in how it's two teams that are quite familiar with each other. With the Bills and the Chiefs, there's always a regular season game, and there have been, you know, every year the playoff games add up. So they go to Arrowhead last year, and they've met how many times in the last 5 years? 10, 11 times? Like, it's just been a lot. And the Patriots have turned their roster over, but two meetings this year, and both were big games. Like, especially the first one for New England, I think, that catapulted them to the division title, and then the Bills needed the second one to sort of reclaim their status, if you will. I think coaching experience, I'm not super excited about that matchup, the Bills and the Patriots for this. And I mean, I think of Vrabel as a big bully on the sideline, somebody that he already after the loss planted the seed about the Bills hold all the time. And bet that comes up next week if they're going to play each other next week. So a lot of history. I mean, that's a huge game. They both are. But Sal had a poll yesterday for Bills fans, who would you rather play? And when I voted, New England was the more popular answer, that fans would rather play New England. I voted the other way. I think I want to be able to take advantage of Jacksonville's inexperience and they're not having a hammer that I don't know if the Patriots do either. The difference is the coaches. In my mind, and maybe I'll feel differently later in the week, but I see the two matchups differently in that way. Let's get John in next. Hi, John.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I was wondering, how do you think the Bills handle the Keon Coleman situation? Before the Philadelphia game, I thought to myself, see if you agree with this, mm-hmm. give him four or five targets just to see if we can use him in the playoffs and then next season. Because right now he seems to be in limbo, right? I mean, are they going to bring him back next year? Are they going to cut him? Are they going to, he just seems to be, nobody knows what's going to happen with him. Wouldn't that have been an idea?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, sure.
I thought it was astonishing he didn't, not that he didn't play against the Eagles only, but just like where we're at in this. They're so.
Condition. He could have, if he had three catches for 45 yards and a score, we'd say, hey, okay, let's play him in the playoffs and see what happens, right?
Yeah.
And next year, you feel good about him if he, maybe has a good game.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't understand that. They just don't seem to know what to do with the guy, right?
Well, I think it's this. I think that they don't really trust him, and that relegates him to a lower status than a guy like Davis, who's been around. And even though he's not really doing anything for the Bills apart from a block or an occasional target, I think that's what it comes down to. And this game would be one where I think he's got to be in a uniform. If he's not dressed this week, we're never going to see him again, Coleman, I think. Like, this game is that game where you can try to get him going. It might not be, it might be like last year's week 18 in New England. In that game, he had 10 targets. They lost and he caught two passes, and it wasn't with Allen. Like, that's the other side of that coin. But I think this is a game where you'd like to be able to do that and see if he can't get to a place where you can feel like he can help you in the playoffs. I think it's pretty incredible that their first pick from last season at such a position of need and importance is at this point useless to them. And I think the optics of it, at least, I'd want to change that if I were the Bills, which adds to how incredible it is that he's not even playing. But it wasn't like he was that productive. What are they taking out of the lineup by not dressing Coleman? 2 for 17? I mean, they're not losing that much. So that's a big one, and we'll talk about that, John, today, maybe more with Sal, and then I'm sure on Friday. That's a big one to watch this week. Thanks for your calls. Joe Ostrowski next. Dan Leberfeld, Sal Capaccio as well today. Happy New Year. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
I've been through this a little bit before when I was younger in Philadelphia, where we had Veterans Stadium over the years, and then we moved to a new stadium. So just, you know, each stadium is a little bit different from the other. And so this is such a storied stadium with so many memories and traditions, and just try and take that in as we go through the game.
Sean McDermott, it's the, as you know, regular season finale, if not finale, at the stadium on Sunday, 4:25, so under the lights, Bills and Jets, maybe with a lot of backups. Could be an anticlimax. I talked to Sal the other day, sort of like ruining the situation here. Like the playoffs are coming, but almost definitely on the road throughout even, and what will Sunday feel like? And he's like, well, you could just kind of separate that and enjoy the day. And I think that's right. I think a lot of people will be that way, and others will be like, oh, where are the playoff games? You know, just what a weird way to end it. I don't know. I mean, a lot of bad teams close stadiums, and what does that feel like? I think it's complicated. With me now is Joe Ostrowski on the West Shore Hotline, Chicken Dinner, longtime host of Bet Sweats on the Odyssey app. Joe, Happy New Year. So glad you're taking the time out to join me today.
Oh, of course. Happy New Year, Mike. How you doing?
Good. So let's talk some awards here. Yeah. Not that we can bet these in New York, but you know, anybody out there knows somebody, and not all our listeners are in New York State anyway. They're not so confined. Starting with MVP, I want to know, like, which of these markets do you think it's kind of over? There might be a couple where it's not over. A couple have been really interesting this year. Drake May now on top of Matthew Stafford. Do you think that's over?
It was funny because during the game, Joe Buck went out of his way a couple of times to talk about it. And the conversation, you know, that they talked about during their meetings throughout the week preparing for this game versus what was happening in real time in the betting markets as that game was unfolding was wildly different. Like, Buck is referring to the numbers and the odds and the chances that Stafford was going to be the MVP, that he was a favorite to be the MVP. And that was true during the week. And it was true in the first half. And then in the second half, that was not true because it became more and more evident that the Rams were going to lose. And I think it's a bit of an overreaction what happened. So Stafford goes from the favorite to now second. Drake May is minus 300. That's a pretty heavy favorite. I know he had a great game and it was weak defense and all that, but that seemed like a hefty move to me, Mike. I don't know. And there are a lot of people running with the idea, okay, I think it's eight opponents exactly the same, and May's performed better. May's team's won more games. I don't know. Without Devontae, just how that game on Monday went, I don't think they really should have flipped, and they did. So I don't think it's over. If McVay is true to his word and he plays his starters and Stafford has a big game, absolutely think Stafford can win this.
Is he bettable? What is the price on Stafford?
He is plus 280 is the best number you can get. So I think it's bettable. 3-1 on everything that he's done this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Arizona and New England might even pull back now that the Chargers are. I wonder if New England joins the ranks of teams that just does not push it here in Week 18. Could you see that?
Yeah, I could see that, especially with the likelihood. I mean, the two biggest favorites on the board this week, Denver and Jacksonville, and it's not like we're talking about a seven-point favorite. We're talking about almost two touchdowns, 12.5, and then the intel of no Herbert, and yeah, it makes sense that Denver is just going to win. I mean, the most likely scenario in their mind is, look, we're probably going to be the two. Like, that's what it looks like it's going to be. It's not just chances are coin toss. No, it's Denver 12.5-point favorite, New England 10.5-point favorite, Jacksonville 12.5-point favorite. Those slots are very high probability they stay the same.
Look at how it fell, Joe, in the AFC. Denver gets Trey Lance. New England gets Quinn Ewers. Jacksonville gets, well, Cam Ward. Houston gets Riley Leonard. And the Bills get Brady Cook. I mean, who needed this Week 18? Whose idea was Week 18? Like, these are all, it's tempting for any of these teams to just be like, you know, especially if Jacksonville gets up 14-0, I don't know, like, just, it could be a really lame week with all of, there's no playoff spots even up for grabs.
I know. Okay, so in the betting world, the big thing is, and we saw some of this last week, is when you're betting, when you have a matchup of two teams, got to have it. They need to have it, incentivized to have it, versus the team that is eliminated and has nothing to play for. And the team that is eliminated has nothing to play for usually covers about 60% of the time. And that would be surprising to people, but the number is boosted, the point spread, and then it goes up even more because everybody's betting on that side.
Mm-hmm.
So there are always surprises. But yeah, we have so many games. So I'm still alive in one of these revival pools. It's $500,000, but
nice.
The problem is there's a lot of people left, but it would still be a nice payday. And a few hours ago, Philly was on my list, and now I've got to scratch them off. They were a 7-point favorite, and then they come out like, no, Tanner McKee's going to play. So now it's down to 3.5 or 4. I'm not putting everything on the line with Tanner McKee. And so now I'm staring at your Bills or the Bengals.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Like, those are basically going to be my two options.
The Bengals.
Yeah.
The Bengals with Burrow.
They said they're playing their guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Eagles are another one. They get who? Josh Johnson this week, maybe? I don't even know where Washington is at. With Joe Ostrowski. Joe, what does Coach of the Year look like?
I think this is the most intriguing race because there are probably 6 guys you can make a case for. It's up in the air. Now, as far as the betting markets say the favorite is, the best chance, they're saying Vrabel. I don't agree with that entirely, especially since he's not going to get a 1 seed. But, you know, big name, big market, like huge surprise this year with the Patriots. He's minus 140 to be your coach of the year. The biggest mover over the last few weeks has been Kyle Shanahan. He's now your second favorite. It's just... Oh, what was interesting is on last Sunday night between the Bears and the 49ers, it seems like whichever coach won that game was going to be right up there with Vrabel. If on that last drive the Bears score a touchdown and the Bears win that game, it's probably Ben Johnson. But instead, Ben Johnson right now is 30-1, and Shanahan's the one up there.
Wow.
So they're saying Vrabel, Shanahan close. Shanahan's plus 190. Then McDonald drops down plus 750. Then Cohen, 17-1. Ben Johnson, 30-1. Sean Payton, 66-1. Now, I respect the betting market. I look at those 6 names. I think any of them could win. Like, who knows what these voters are going to actually end up doing. But I don't think there's that much of a separation. I fully believe there will be plenty of people that sit down and when they vote and they'll write down Ben Johnson, they'll write down Liam Cohen. And those are the 3rd and 4th favorites right now.
It's such a weird vote. I mean, coach of the year is generally the coach of the team that did the most better than you thought. So you could have, you know, a lot of different opinions on that. And then I think you look at, well, take Vrabel or even Ben Johnson or even Shanahan. How good is the quarterback? If you think May is this, you know, or Purdy is this, then you might subtract from the coach in that. Whereas, I don't know if it's Caleb Williams necessarily as a first overall pick, but there's that. I think maybe that helps Cohen having a quarterback who also was a first overall pick, by the way. It's just like really an individual choice. Offensive rookie of the year, I think of you here because I heard you talk about Jackson Dart all the time and then Travion Henderson. And I don't know, it looked like you might have been all set, but is Tyler Shuck going to win?
Do you have a Shuck ticket?
I heard
you do.
No, we talked. I recommended it, but I can't bet awards, so I didn't go as far as to do it.
Not that long ago, he was 200-1.
Oof.
Before they moved him to be the starter. You can't bet everybody.
No.
And I know a lot of people that were betting Tyler Shuck, and I'm just like, you know what? I have enough with the offensive rookie of the year. I'm not going to do anything there. Shuck is the second favorite. He's plus 150. Tedaro McMillan, he's a favorite at minus 115. It's probably a situation where it comes down to what happened in the last week, and New Orleans could very well win this game. With New England, to your point earlier, I would like Henderson to play. It'd be a great result for me. But I don't know that that's going to happen. So, yeah, I'll probably be stuck there with a 3rd and 4th favorite. That would stink. Maybe I get a surprise with Dart Henderson, not expecting it. But the one that I'm going to be paying close attention to this week, Mike, the most is offensive player of the year.
Okay.
I'm in a really strong spot there. Before the year, got JSN at 50-1. And then about a month ago, we were looking at Christian McCaffrey, and that's a guy that Sam, like, before the year, I'm like, look, man, and look at his schedule, and we know the touches. There was a 40-1 about a month ago. So JFN favorite, McCaffrey the second favorite. Either of them win, I'm good. Thankfully, Puka didn't catch that ball the other night, because I think if he catches that ball, the Rams win that game, he could be your favorite right now.
Yeah, I think of Sam when I think of Puka, because, I don't know, maybe 10 months ago, he's like, this is my offensive player of the year. And in fantasy drafts, I'm drafting, you know, I'll be drafting in a month for next year. And like, okay, well, he's in there with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas and Ashton Jeanty. So I'll get some Puka, but I want these other guys too. All of them bombed or got hurt. You know, like Puka was so clearly the winning pick in that cluster of the draft, you know, 1-8 to 2-2. And that's not even to McCaffrey yet in the early, you know, early drafts. But yeah, what a player. Well, the college playoffs here, Joe, I want to say are finally here. What am I watching? The SRS Distribution Bowl? Save us.
I have not. Non-playoff games. Are you even watching them? I'm not.
Well, I'm at work and they're on. And they're, I want to watch instead? Kelly Clarkson? So I'm watching this instead. I just want there to be like a brand I've heard, like Coca-Cola Bowl or something. Can there just be a company whose name I've heard of? But not, I'm not getting so lucky. I did a four-team quarterfinal playoff parlay, and I wanted to throw it by you. I don't know what your picks are for these games, okay?
Sure.
Miami, Texas Tech, Indiana, Georgia.
Okay. Miami? Yeah. I mean, that would be, if you get that hope, you are going to be very, very excited. Why not? That juices things up. I don't think the Buckeyes are unbeatable.
Same.
And
same.
Miami can win in the trenches there.
Same.
So I don't think that's a bad idea. Texas Tech, they're the dog. I have them winning outright.
Mm-hmm.
I like them a lot. Make a deep run. Indiana, 7-point favorite. I do expect them to win. Everything there goes back to the strong coaching. Really looking forward to that. It feels like a lot of people are going to be taking Alabama +7. And if I had to, I'd look to the Indiana side. And was your last leg Georgia?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So the first two games you have dogs. Next two you have favorites. I like Georgia. I think Texas Tech and Georgia could meet up in the end.
I feel good about it. Indiana's one of these games where just like you would knee-jerk to Alabama, and they were giving you 7 points if you take Alabama, so you know they're begging you to. That's what it looks like to me because of the name power.
What did that pay? And was that just winning?
I took spreads. So whatever a standard.
Oh, gotcha.
4-1. But now I might do the money line thing after talking to you. And I want to say, I should tell listeners, I really almost never watch a college game unless it's on against Kelly Clarkson, who I don't even mind, but I can't have the volume up. But I do follow the NFL closely, and I don't do that much better. So that's my disclaimer. I've had a good year on our picks with Bulldog, though, on the pros. So that's something at least, but it's probably all luck. Joe, by the way, on my maybe you know this, ADP Chasing, the fantasy podcast I've hosted Tuesdays through the year, the guy I replaced as host of the show won $2 million on Monday night.
Wait, which? In the who
best,
was it?
Best Ball Mania, Sam Sherman.
I feel like everybody won $1 million the other day.
I know. Just not us.
Did you notice that? A Greenberg's producer won $1 million.
Okay.
On Get Up.
Okay.
I'm blanking on his name right now. And
that's right, because there was a little bit of controversy about that.
Uh-huh. I know. I didn't say anything, but I had the same thought go through my mind. Okay, nice to see people are following up on that. And then there was another guy that was a recent fantasy football guy. I think he won $2 million.
Mac Nova.
Something like that.
Sam was the host of ADP Chasing, and he left to go to a business job. And uh-huh. I never really knew him. He reached out to me a couple times. I helped out his brother who was trying to get into the business. Never really knew him. And then, like, he was in position to win Best Ball Mania, and he did for $2 million. So it's a little bit awkward for me. Like, I've already got a partner on that show who's won $2 million himself in this tournament. Now the guy I'm I'm not the analyst these guys are. I'm more just sort of the host to keep it on the rails. But you can tell it maybe I'm already getting defensive about it. Because am I supposed to win millions or else I'm a slob or something? Like, I don't know. I feel a little bit inferior from this. But, you know,
I know.
Sam seems like a good guy and, you know, great. Good for him. I mean, that's amazing. Life changing.
Yeah, so. It's awesome. It makes you think, okay, maybe it's worth something. Not just the entertainment money that we're throwing away, you know, like pizza money here and there. Like, wow. Just, and to be able to say that, to put it in the bio, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. And then a lot of these guys get right into content and maybe he'll get back into that. I don't know. Joe, happy New Year. Thanks for your time today. Good luck this weekend.
Happy New Year, Mike. I can't wait till we get these matchups. Going to be a lot of fun. Bills the six, right? We'll be talking about at Jacksonville game, right?
That's the likeliest outcome, but maybe this week gets a little screwy. I don't know. Either way, yeah. Look forward to having you on next week to break it down.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe Ostrowski, Chicken Dinner with Sam Paniatovich, their podcast, their new, renewed partnership. Dan Leberfeld on the Jets joins me at 4:00. Bulldog is off. He'll be back with me on Friday. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.